This is C, and this is Swinging Down Under. Welcome to a special edition of Swinging Down Under. This is C, and I'm currently masterpotting for my upcoming date, or our upcoming date, rather, with our manicorn. Now, I wanted to do this episode pre- and post-date so I could share a little bit of information about what it is like to date a single guy in the lifestyle. So a manicorn, if you haven't quite worked out yet, is a male unicorn. The reason we started titling our single male friends manicorns is because we realized that it's actually much, much harder to find a sexy, intelligent, well-put-together male in the lifestyle who's interested in having a date with a swinging couple. Much more, actually, difficult than finding, I think, a female unicorn in the lifestyle. So a lot of couples out there are looking for threesomes with an additional female for the bedroom. Dee and I have a preference recently for males in the bedroom, and it's tough. I'm not going to lie. It's tough to find them. It's tough to find good ones, and it's really almost tiring to go through the mountain of profiles that are available online for these people. So I thought I would do a little special podcast about it, and I'm quite nervous about tonight and wanted to share with you some of the thoughts and the processes, I guess, that go through actually setting up a date with a manicorn. So welcome, and I hope you find this really informative, and I hope you find it a little bit funny at times and, entertaining, I guess, for possibly the next 40 minutes. So we'll see how we go. So finding a guy in the lifestyle to be your manicorn is tough. It's hard. I mean, I've spoken about this on a previous masterpotting podcast for Swinging Down Under, and I stand by it. It's exhausting going through profiles. It's tough to find good quality guys that perhaps aren't just in it for the sex alone and certainly want to have an additional connection. I mean, it would be great if we just cared about bringing someone home and shagging the pants off them and letting them then go on their merry way. But Dee and I, as we've said before, we're sociosexual. So intelligent mind as well as a sexy body is what we find the most exciting and certainly what turns me on and what turns Dee on. I'm certainly not going to the bedroom unless I think somebody's sexy in both their mind and their body. So it's hard to find people. Now, recently Dee and I were away for a weekend over the Christmas period, and Dee started downloading some new apps. Now, he downloaded an app called Thrinder. Now, anyone who's aware of the apps that are out there in the world, so you've got Tinder, you've got Thrinder, you've got Grindr. They're all part of the same family, and Thrinder is people looking for a threesome, either a single person looking to join a couple or a couple looking for a third person to join them in the bedroom. So Dee downloads this app. I think at this point I'm probably having an afternoon nap from all of the cheese and wine we've consumed over the Christmas break. So he has downloaded the app, and he's doing a little bit of a looking around, and he stumbles upon a single guy who's dressed in a suit, quite well presented, has a face shot on his profile as well, and his profile is well articulated. So he is a standout, really. And Dee does the little swipe left, I think it is, swipe right, to like the person. So you download the app and you get their profile, and you can swipe down to like them. So it's a little bit different to the Tinder app. I'm getting the hand gestures from Dee in the background, who's sitting in the lounge room. He's saying it's swipe down for good, up for bad. All right, so swipe down is a thumbs up, swipe up is a thumbs down, which is quite ironic. It's kind of a bit of backwards there. And he found this guy. So they start, he says, yes, I like this person. At the same time, this person has said he likes us, right? So this is pretty good. At this point, it's going pretty well. And I think that just a little bit of a pause for the Thrinder app as well. Thrinder seems to be quite good for people who are looking for a little bit of bisexuality in the bedroom as well. If you are a couple and you want to play with another person, so say I wanted to play with another female, or say Dee wanted to play with another man, Thrinder can also be quite good for finding that same-sex bisexuality for the bedroom for a couple, which I think is actually quite a benefit if you want to have that sort of sexual exploration, or if you're that way inclined, you know, perhaps you're on the Kinsey scale leading towards the fours and fives, then, or even three or whatever you are, it's quite great to have an opportunity to look into bringing that person into the bedroom as well. And of course, your partner gets to watch or play. So really, it's just a win-win-win. Everybody has a lot of fun. So that's a little bit about the Thrender app. So Dee finds this guy. He's quite sexy. He's quite intelligent. And we all start kind of chatting on the app, on the Thrender app. More recently, we've kind of given up on some of the other social media platforms for finding a guy. I've had a few messages recently, again, that are kind of like a one-liner, what are you doing tonight, can I come over, or hey baby, how's about it, or what do you like? I get a lot of that, like what do you like, kind of like where do you want me to put it, baby? And honestly, they don't even get a response. Those ones, they just get a delete. And so it's tiring, and we haven't kind of had a soiree with a single guy for quite a while, actually. Months, I would say. So it's kind of exciting that we have a date tonight with the manicorn, but also, God, I'm a bit nervous, you know, so we'll see. So we found this guy, and, you know, so now you've kind of, I'm going to say you've caught him, because again, he's a fable creature. So we've managed to kind of catch him, and now what do we do? So we talked to him on Kik. Kik is a texting kind of app where Dee and I can both have our own profiles and chat with, you know, another couple or a group of people or a single guy. It's quite good if you don't want to share your mobile phone. You have the ability to then chat without any concerns about your safety or security. So it's really quite good. If you don't have Kik, which is K-I-K, it's probably a good idea to get it. It's been really, really helpful for us. Also for flirting as well. Just kind of gives you that opportunity to, you know, have a bit of chit-chat and see what people are about and what they like, and if you have any connection at all. So we caught up quickly on a first date about a month ago, and we went for a bit of an afternoon drink fairly close to us. I think it was about probably 15 minutes drive. And he came and met us at a bar, and we just had a glass of wine and some nibbles just for, I don't know, it was about an hour. And I went and sat next to him. He had told me that he was a boobs man. So I wore a black kind of plunge play suit to kind of show off the girls and, you know, make him know that I was interested and certainly kind of give him a bit of something to see. And he was certainly happy about that. He commented a couple of times on the outfit choice. But I was so nervous. So I sat next to him, and, you know, Dee was sitting across from us, and we're all kind of engaging in conversation. And it's not dirty conversation. It's just, you know, what we like to do. We like to go scuba diving, and he likes to scuba dive. We like to rock climb, and he likes to rock climb. So talking about our adventures of travel and these sorts of things. But I guess because I'm a bit out of practice, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know how to react to this person. I don't know how to flirt. Do I sit closer? Do I touch his leg? All of these kinds of things are running through my head. And it's, you know, kind of like 3 PM too, so the sun's out and it's a little bit naughty, I guess, in a public place. And yeah, I don't know. It's awesome, but also at the same time, it can get quite nerve-wracking, I think, for me. You know, probably some seasonal people that are used to it, it's probably less nerve-wracking, but we are still learning. We're only 1 year into the lifestyle, so I still get nervous. So from there, I've actually been traveling a fair bit recently for work, and so we've been using Kik while I've been away to kind of keep the conversation going and, you know, kind of keep the flirting happening, and we've set up the date for tonight. So, you know, how do you set up another catch-up? You just basically talk about it. Are you keen to continue chatting and possibly see each other? And then from there, you know, you can, depending on your comfort level, flirt. Whether that's just flirting via text, whether you're sending a couple of naughty pictures backwards and forwards, it's really up to you and how much you want to take that flirting or that interaction before it's face-to-face. So some of the things that kind of catch me or things that I think about before we go on a date is generally around the experience. So I'm thinking about what kind of experience does he have with other couples, and then obviously what is our experience with other single guys. So we've been with one other single guy so far in the lifestyle, and we've been with a couple, you know, couples, but single guys don't have a lot of experience with. So I guess wanting someone who's maybe at the same level of experience or a little bit more than us is quite good, because they can kind of lead the way a little bit, but also they're not too experienced. I mean, we stumbled upon a profile about 6 months ago, and he had I'm going to probably get this wrong, but I feel like it was about 47 validations. So that's where people have gone onto the social media profile on the dating site and said, he is great, 47 times. Now, when you see that kind of, when you see those kinds of stats, you do pause, you take a moment to go, holy hell, how am I going to be keeping up with this person? Or what do I do? He knows more than me, or, you know, all these sorts of things kind of run through your head. So his experience with other couples, you know, is suitable to us, is quite good. So he has had some experience, but not a whole heap, more than us, which is great because he kind of gets to teach us, but at the same time, not less than us. So that's something that, that I always consider is kind of how much experience have they had, and I guess therefore what are they expecting or what are they used to? You know, are they wanting to go out for a date, or do they just want to come home and have a good time and then leave? You know, both ways are great. There's not one better way than the next way, but of course it's really down to your experience and what you're after and what you like. So that's something that you need to take into consideration too. Of course, then it stems to that is that, you know, am I going to potentially disappoint this person in the bedroom? If they've got a lot of experience and maybe we're a bit nervous, you know, are we going to be able to kind of keep up with the mojo and not necessarily perform, but kind of keep things at a pace that the other person's quite comfortable with and so are we? We might want to be a little bit slower and that person might want to be a little bit faster because they're kind of a bit more used to it. So it's date night. Dee and I have had the chat, you know, obviously, like, what do we want potentially out of tonight? As far as we would want to go, but certainly not crossing any boundaries that we may or may not have. And also just kind of setting the scene for, you know, yes, you can kind of get halfway through the date and if you want to say no, or you can get halfway through the date and say, you know, I'm wanting to kind of catch up a little bit more before we take it to the bedroom. So tonight's just a pants on or a fun night out, not necessarily full play. So that's important to kind of just catch up with your partner and have that chat, that interaction. Where do you want to go? It also gives Dee the opportunity to kind of see where I'm or feel where I'm at. And then maybe we can give, you know, each other sort of that communication during the evening to say, how do we feel about it? Where do we want to go from here? And all these types of things as well. So that's pretty important to have that chat. Even if you have been playing or in the lifestyle for years, it's always good to just have a quick kind of recap on what do you want out of the evening, or where do you think it's going to go, or what's the furthest you're willing to go. So I mentioned before that a couple of times that I'm a little bit nervous. So at the moment, kind of I'm thinking, God, you know, we're going out with this guy. What if I overstep the boundaries or I scare him away a little bit? Or what if I don't really know how to flirt properly? And actually, it's funny. I was recently listening to one of the podcasts that we follow in the lifestyle, and it's me and Mrs. Jones, or We Got a Thing, and it's their episode 18. It's about, I think, 1 hour and 10 minutes in or so. And Mr. Jones admits that he's not or hasn't been in the past so great with flirting. And Dee and I were talking about this recently because we've been together for 7 years and so a little bit dusty, a little bit out of the game. And flirting for me is tough. You know, I actually have to think about it. It doesn't come naturally for me. And Mr. Jones was sort of saying the same thing. You know, he has to kind of make the effort to keep flirting and practice makes perfect. So I've been doing a lot of that kind of lately, thinking about how do I flirt, making sure I'm flirting, making sure I'm giving off the right signals, because I might be thinking I am, but, you know, maybe I'm not really kind of going to the lengths of touching somebody on the leg or laughing at them and these kinds of things. But certainly you do get better. And that was the funny thing about Mr. Jones's comment. He was saying he's much better now. And he was talking about having a business meeting and he had her eating out of the palm of his hand because the lifestyle has taught him to be a little bit more aggressive in his flirting or his, you know, tactics on controlling a room or, you know, making sure that the people know he's there. So that was that's something that, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about and I want to try and make sure that I'm flirting. So I'll let you know how that goes tomorrow when I kind of do the post-date podcast, whether or not I thought that I was good at flirting. Maybe Dee can give you some insight on that as well. I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, so we're going out tonight. It's kind of 3 PM now, and we're heading out at 7 for a quick kind of catch up, maybe some share plates and some couple of wines before we head out and maybe have a bit of a dance and those kinds of things. So really at this point, we don't know where the night's going to end up. And so we're thinking, okay, well, what do we wear? So what does Dee wear? What do I wear? And I've got about 3, kind of 4 outfits in mind that I'll generally have. And this is if we go on any kind of date or if we go to a lifestyle event, generally I'll have a couple of outfits on the ready, and I will try them on and decide which one I feel the most sexiest in on that particular moment in time, because, you know, as a woman, we change our minds like no one's business. So it's possible that I'll hate 3 of those 4 outfits later, and then I'll put one on and that's the one I'm going to go with, because tonight, for some reason, I've decided that's the one that makes me look the best. So I'm pretty sure I'm leaning towards a white strapless number, but I'll let you know later on Twitter. I'll maybe tweet up a picture of what I'm going to wear on our date night tonight. So where are we going? We're actually heading to a bar in Sydney City, and it's a fairly low-key bar. I picked the first location because it was a little bit quieter, and that's important. We actually went, we hosted a pub crawl towards the end of last year, and the first bar we went to was so noisy that people actually couldn't communicate as well as we would like. And, you know, being swingers, being in the lifestyle, we love communicating, we love talking, love meeting new friends, and so that is so important. So the first place I picked was sexy, a little bit underground. I think there's a lot of velvet, a lot of couches, so you can kind of get close, and it's got a nice vibe, but also it's not too noisy. So we're going to start there, and then afterwards we'll just kind of see where the vibe takes us on where we go next. I've got like 4 or 5 places in mind that we could pick if we wanted to kind of continue on with some fun. Preparation. I'm currently sitting here waiting on my tan to dry, which is kind of a little bit funny, but yeah, yes, I'm a girl, so I want to look my best and I want to feel my best. And for me, that's having a little bit of color on my skin. So yep, I'm sitting here in my tan, and I like to call it baking. Probably like 2 hours into my bake at this point in time. So that's one of the preparations for me. And then obviously making sure that you feel good and look good is really important. So if you've got a particular set of panties that you like to wear or that you think are quite sexy or you feel sexy in, wear those. I mean, if you've got a particular perfume that you like and that makes you feel sexy, wear that on you, or do your hair the way that makes you feel sexy. All of these little things kind of go into the evening and the preparation for you to be the most confident, sexiest person that you could possibly be. And the same goes for your partner. You know, you want them to feel and look good as well, because this date is not just about you, it's about the both of you. So how can you help him to feel more sexy? Dee has a couple of different colognes, and one in particular I'm really loving, I think, for the past year, actually. He probably gets a little bit sick of wearing it because I keep asking him to wear it when we go out, but it's like sex on wheels for me. I love it, and so I keep asking for it, and that's the one I want him to wear. And same thing for his shirt. You know, he might wear a button-up shirt, but I want him to wear it maybe one button further down than he normally would, because that's me wanting him to feel and look sexy as well, and invite him into the date, because again, it's about us, not just me. We're a couple, and you know, it's really important that he feels as important, more important than the guy that we're meeting, because at the end of the day, I'm coming home with him and I'm spending my life with him. So that's important. Don't forget that your partner is needing to feel and look sexy as well. Now, sexual performance can be a little bit of a concern for people in the bedroom. You know, I mean, you're meeting a new partner or potential sex partner for the first time, and you at this point don't know what they like, they don't know what you like. I mean, generally, if you talk to anyone in the lifestyle, they'll say that sex the second time around with a couple or a new partner is better, because at this point in time, you're starting to kind of learn a little bit about each other. So yes, I mean, it's probably a concern for me. I mean, but the bigger concern for me is who initiates it all, you know, and that comes back to kind of just being that confident sexual being and just going out there and having a bit of fun and not being afraid to kind of take that leap or that first question and say, look, you know, I'm keen. If you're keen, let's all go back and have some fun. We have a glass of wine and see where it goes from there. But it can be quite nerve-wracking for newbies. The first time we asked, or I felt that I'd asked, it was, it took me like 15 minutes to even build up the courage. I felt like I was asking for my first ever salary increase from my boss at work. I was so nervous. But you know, because you just don't know what the reaction's going to be. And I mean, probably 90% of the time, it's not even a big deal. You're overthinking it so much, but it just, in your head, you make this huge deal out of it, and it's really not. I mean, it's just down to, are they interested, and do they, you know, are you interested? Do you guys want to go have some fun? And that's as easy as it can be, but yeah, it's quite nerve-wracking, so I don't know. And I'd love to hear some feedback, actually, if anybody else has some funny stories about the first time you kind of invited people back to your house, or kind of how you went getting them back to your hotel room, or, you know, in the bedroom, even at a swingers party or a swingers club, you know, taking that step from asking people that you've been chatting to for a little bit from the downstairs area to perhaps the playrooms upstairs, you know, I mean, that first leap is, it's a little bit intimidating, but after you've done it, it's also exhilarating. So yeah, I'd love to hear people's stories about that one if you've got any. The other thing is obviously no expectations on the evening. So I'm talking a lot about asking people home and kind of having some fun in the bedroom and sexual performance, but also that's not a given. That's not an expectation of the evening. At the moment, Dee and I are going out to have some fun and have some great conversation with a really intelligent and fun guy. And if that leads to some kind of play and everyone's interested, great. If it doesn't, we get to come home and share each other regardless. You know, Dee and I are together. So there is no expectations on the evening, and don't put expectations on yourself or your partner or the other person. You know, I mean, maybe he is not ready to play yet either. Maybe you might be ready, but he's not quite ready. Maybe he wants to spend some more time with you before you go to the bedroom. So it's really important to kind of think about everyone's ideas of how the evening is going to go, and certainly not have any expectations on that. And I guess the most fun you've probably ever had is where you go to those parties and there is no expectation, and it turns out to be the best party that you've ever been to. You know, so that's really kind of important as well. Funny that I say this, though, because even though you have no expectations, you have to be, we called it a Boy Scout. So you're wanting the best but planning for the worst, or something to that extent. And so, of course, even though we're not expecting him to come back here, you still have to clean the house and kind of prepare. So you've still got to prepare yourself. You've still got to maybe, you know, do some maintenance on yourself as well as the house in preparation for potentially this person to come back and play. So it's really funny. Dee was walking around earlier tidying the house with me, and that cane kind of popped into my head. I'm like, well, even though we don't expect it, we may want it, but at the same time, you've got to plan for it. So it's a really funny, funny thing, because it's happened before where we've gone around and we've tidied and clean the entire place, and then no one's come back here. And it's kind of like, well, you know, the house is clean, so that's a bonus, and we get to play together, so that's another bonus. But, you know, we've got all this beautiful clean house kind of sitting here, and no one gets to see it, so that's pretty funny. And I guess, you know, do you play in your bedroom is probably another thing that some people think about as well, particularly couples think about this. It's, you're bringing somebody back, and do you actually play in your own bedroom? If you've got a spare room, that's great. Or maybe you've got a playroom that you can play in, or, you know, do you actually take them back to your bedroom? So these are conversations that you probably might not think about to begin with, but certainly you start to think about them after. And it's something that Dee and I discussed early on was, you know, what happens when we bring back maybe even two or three couples to our house, and, you know, that's kind of like, that's our bed. Do we feel weird about that, or do we feel okay about it? And we decided it's fine. We feel okay about it because the people that are coming back here are, you know, our friends and have, you know, we've spoken to and we feel quite comfortable with. It's certainly not just people we've picked up off the street or that sort of thing. So we're okay with it, but it's probably a good idea to have a chat about it to your partner, you know, kind of like, where are there any restrictions within the house where you can or cannot play? So I don't know. Maybe that's something to think about. But tonight, I'm excited. I'm nervous. God, I don't know. I'm a little bit hoping that both Dee and him will maybe take the lead on some things, you know, on the evening and just in general. Kind of keen on seeing how I go for flirting, because that's something that I've been really trying to work on. And, you know, I'm interested to see Dee's feedback on that, actually, because he loves it when I flirt. He loves it when I'm flirting with a guy or a girl. It really doesn't matter. He just loves it when I'm confident and when I'm flirting, and it really turns him on. So I think that I'll be able to judge whether or not he thinks that the evening's going quite well, just by his reaction. So I will kind of share that tomorrow and let you know how the flirting pans out for me. So yeah, so basically a podcast in two parts. I'm going to come back to you guys tomorrow. We're going to go off on our date now, and I will let you know how the evening goes. Thank you for listening. I'll chat to you soon.